You're listening to a real piece of work. That's probably not how I should say that. Take two. You're listening to a real piece of work, a jobs podcast for aspiring professionals, brought to you by WVIK, Quad Cities NPR, and Junior Achievement of the Heartland. Here's your hosts, Matt and Melissa.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Melissa, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks. What's new in your world? How many buildings are you building today?
Well, we got lucky this week and scored a couple big ones, so it's been a good start to the week, and we just hope we can maintain that momentum for a little while. How about you?
Good. It's really good. We actually, too, had a kind of good week over the weekend. We were able to sign off on taking over the social media for 392 Cafe. So if you're a coffee lover like I am, follow 392 at their different locations, because that'll be my team managing that social media going forward. So I'm excited. I'm a huge coffee drinker, so I really am looking forward to spending a little bit more time at 392. Today, totally unrelated, although I know quite a few nurses who probably require some caffeine to do what it is that they do.
Oh, yes.
Every day. We have Brandon Nickerson, who is celebrating his 10-year anniversary as a nurse at Genesis. And so welcome to the program, Brandon.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We're glad to talk with a nurse. You know, today I'm sporting, you can't see this, but I'm sporting my COVID vaccine sticker. I got my second dose today. And so I think it's a momentous day to be talking to someone in the healthcare industry. So give us a little, what's it been like to be on the front lines as an essential worker during this pandemic?
It's been the most challenging year so far in my career, but we're in a great spot. We're heading in a good direction. The company I work for, Genesis, has kept our safety number one. You know, we've had PPE, you know, you hear a lot of things, and it was a struggle for everybody in the beginning, and we've learned a lot across the board in healthcare on how to handle this. We've never been through it before in our lifetime. So, you know, as far as in the front lines, you know, we've had experienced losses, you know, and it's tough, but with the vaccine and us heading in a good direction, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel, you know, but it's been a long, long year. And the hardest thing, like, also is restricting the visitors in the hospital, and you're communicating over the phone with families, and it's been tough for all of us, you know, and it's a whole nother element that we never really expected, you know. And when you have patients that are looking to go into a nursing home, it's like, do families go and place their loved one there where they can't see this? So it's just been difficult, you know, to help people navigate through it and be with their loved ones, you know. And we're in a much better place now, but it's been the hardest year for me, without a doubt, you know. But it's been impressive, and I've worked a couple shifts even in the ICU to help out, and the level of respect, you know, the all hands on deck approach, and the pulmonary group, all the ICU staff, it's just impressive. You know, it makes you so proud, you know, to be a small part of that. And we get in oncology, you know, like, our patients are the last you'd want to put any COVID patients with, but we still have had COVID patients on the unit. It's gotten that bad where there's nowhere else for them to go. We just didn't have bed availability. So we've had to manage and keep those COVID patients, or when we find out, we rule them out for COVID, that we place them on the general floor. So we've changed ourselves and how we do things too on our unit, just to help minimize the, you know, risks for our patients, you know.
Oh, well, it sounds like you are taking the right approach by staying positive and just having that attitude of gratitude, which I think is a really good way to get through hard.
Yeah, it's been tough, but
tell me a little bit about your unit. You know, what unit are you on? How many people work there? What's your day to day?
I work on the neuro-oncology unit. So we handle stroke patients, a lot of stroke or seizures, brain injuries, anything related to blood disorders, sickle cell, cancer, leukemia, So kind of a wide variety, which is good, you know, even for a new person to come in and you pick any unit in the hospital, you will be able to grow and build your skill set, you know, and build that foundation. But it's like, it's, they're two opposite kind of specialties, but yet, you know, they work together, and I've learned so much just by, you know, I was an onc nurse before we merged because I worked at our other hospital and then they moved our unit to that unit. So I've learned a lot too. And, you know, with the neurological side of it, but yeah, it's, there's about, 30 plus beds total, 16 beds for onc. And I think there's like 17 for neurology. And, there's staff. We've got, I'd say around 50, you know, between all shifts, you know, it is a ballpark guess, but we're hiring like, even as a new grad, one that I'm training right now at Blackhawk, that's going to graduate soon. She accepted a position for day shift. So a lot of times you hear nurses won't be able to get day shift coming out of school, but there's positions all around if you can find them, you know, cause she's going to go directly to day shift, which is an extra degree of difficulty, but it can be done, you know, and she'll do fine. You know, it just, it's a little bit busier. The shifts are all different in their own way. So, it's just kind of given her the support to jump in and to give her the support to be successful, you know.
Brandon, out of curiosity, you're coming up on 10 years of Genesis. What's your background to the point that you got even to Genesis? Where are you from and what sparked your interest to get into the healthcare world?
I was born at St. Luke's there. So I'm working at the hospital I was born at. So I've never left here. I mean, I left from the nest, but not too far away. And, I've worked, in industrial work, which was good pay, you know, for around here. And I didn't go to school. So it was like, that's kind of what you do. My dad worked at John Deere. So it was kind of like the blue collar part in my family. So I worked at a plastic injection molding plant called Phoenix Closures for a little while. And I worked night shift, and I worked with about 10 guys and gals. And I worked in a warehouse, and I was just at that point about 29 years old. And I thought, you know, it's now or never. And I couldn't see myself, nothing against that kind of work. There's people that I work with that enjoy that. My brother works at Arconic. He loves it. I've got family. A lot of my family's blue collar people, but I just didn't think it was the right thing for me. And I got a lot of encouragement from family and friends saying, yeah, I could see you being a nurse. Cause I always thought about it. And I knew I could move anywhere. I knew there'd be a demand, and looking ahead at that time, you know, 10 years later. So I was like, well, I'm going to work full time. I had a mortgage, so I'm kind of a second career student. So I had a little boy. He was 3 months old when I started to take classes. So it was challenging in that aspect of it, you know. And if I would advise anybody, is to do it the first time and not the second time. But you like had my family support, you know, like my parents would watch Mason while I was at the library right down the street trying to study for tests. So like, and it makes you proud even, you know, to get to where you're at just a little bit later. But, you know, it's just a little harder, I think, you know, when I've been established and I had bills and I had to work full time and go to school, but I did it. You know, I would take two classes like every semester and chipped away at my prerequisites to get into the program. So it took me about 3 years for a 2-year associate's degree at Blackhawk. So, but once I got in, I was working, and you're in the program, it has to be full time, you know. So I kind of adjusted there with my work hours and was able to bartend at, which was perfect, at a nice banquet facility. So I could work not as much, but yet make income enough to survive, to get through it. And, you know, the sacrifices, like my mom, she'd bring over groceries a couple of times because she knew I was struggling. You know, you never forget that. And just the family support and just to get to where you're at, you know, just makes it more worthwhile, you know, that I just took everybody to help me get to that point. But
when you graduated from Blackhawk, what kind of clinical experience did you have while you were a student, or kind of what's the next, you just talked about training someone, you know, who's going to get the day shift.
Yeah.
So kind of what is that like? How soon when you're in nursing school, do you get to kind of get into a healthcare setting?
Well, what's nice is I'll talk about like what it is now, because I think it's great because things have changed since even when I was in school. We did like a regular traditional rotation where you're a group and you're with one instructor, but between St. Ambrose and Blackhawks really pushed it too, which I think is awesome. But in the last semester of your clinicals, you are paired with a nurse on a unit, just one. And I think you just get the best kind of experience out of that because you actually, and that's my goal as the preceptor, is to make her feel like she's the nurse at the end of that. So it's 108 hours is what Blackhawk does. Ambrose, since it's a bachelor's program, I think it's 160 hours, but I work with them as well. You know, like I love that one-to-one because you get to see someone come in that has the deer in the headlights, they're scared, like, and I was too, you know, that, and then to get to the point where they're reporting off on the patients and they're doing everything, and I'm just kind of sitting there as a support, they're doing it. It just makes me feel good, and I know it makes them feel good, you know. So the growth that I see is just so awesome, and just that short, you know, 12 to about 10, 12-hour shifts, you know, ballpark. But it just, you know, in every day, and even she accepted a position, which is kind of neat on her unit. So I'll get to like take that to the next level with her and then do the preceptorship in the hospital, which Genesis is great with too. They do, it's kind of like there's no set concrete time that you'd need to do it. And my manager is constantly sitting down with me and the new nurse, and we're, you know, engaged, and we want that nurse to be successful. We want to give, we're investing in them, you know, and we don't want to say, okay, your time's up, here you go, good luck. You can have, you know, we're always, some people might take a little bit more time, some might be ahead of the curve, you know, like, and that's what I think is great. Like my manager Molly, like, and we just are constantly engaged with where that person is at so that we can adapt and, you know, give them the right foundation to be successful, you know, give them a good environment, you know.
Well, and that's wonderful to hear because there is a nursing shortage, and in order to really increase that, we are so excited to get to talk to you today because we need more nursing graduates.
Yeah. And I'm just honored to share some advice and tips or anything that could help somebody that's, you know, thinking about it or in it right now, you know. And we're all about that, you know, in the hospital, just kind of anything we can learn to share on to pass on to the next person, you know, to kind of pay it forward. Because so many people taught me at Blackhawk, like I was taught by the best of the best, you know, some of the nurses, like, and they may be retired now, Becky Maxson, Judy Bateman. I could go on and on and name Charlotte Powell, who is still there as an instructor. I work with her, the St. Ambrose staff, all of them. Just like, I'm just so grateful for the amount of money that I paid for my education and what I got out of it. Like, it was like the biggest bargain I could have gotten, you know, to go to a community college and get the quality of education that I got.
So, Brandon, as you know, this audience is primarily high school students, maybe a little younger. Who knows? Maybe there's a couple older ones as well. But this is with Junior Achievement of the Heartland, and we have a JA student that actually has a question queued up for you. So put your 16-year-old lens on and think about this question coming from her perspective.
Hi, Brandon. This is Paige Odafi from Pleasant Valley High School. My question is, what advice would you give to a student planning on pursuing a career in nursing? Thank you.
So my advice, number one, would be to get in the hospital if that's something you want to pursue, like a CNA position. Very easy to kind of get. You can maybe just get right in before high school. I know there's some programs that will allow that, but just being anywhere as a CNA, you'll get to feel whether or not that's the right thing for you, and then and you'll build experience. And I wish I would have done that, but in my situation, it just, you know, as a second career student, that wasn't an option. But if you're 16 and looking into it, like a CNA position would be perfect to kind of learn, because you're going to learn a lot of medical things too with vital signs and primary care of patients, you know, bathing patients, transferring patients. So you're going to, if you do decide to pursue nursing, you're going to be that much further ahead without having to pay for any of that. You're just building up experiences just by getting paid to work. So that's probably the biggest advice I would recommend is to be a CNA and to see if it's the right fit for you. And that's great because you'll see nurses, you'll get to see what they do while you're doing, you're assisting them, you know, whether it be in a nursing home or a doctor's office. You know, there's medical assistance too. That'd be another option. But, you know, there's so many different avenues with healthcare, you know, that just to jump in is the best advice I could give.
Well, I'm sure Paige will really appreciate that answer. Go from there. Out of curiosity, tell Paige and all the other listeners, give us your best things that you love about your job and maybe some of the things that are a little challenging that, you know, eyes wide open for somebody that's thinking about medical world.
The best things for like what I've done, you know, you in oncology, you get down to like the core of nursing and you have to look at it the right way. Like sometimes it can be tough, but there is like so much reward in that tough when your patients look up to you in the hardest time of their life, you know, and there's diagnostics, there's CT scans, MRIs, biopsies, you know, it can be overwhelming for anybody. And that's the thing I'm most proud of is like people just look up to you and it's no nonsense. You know, you're there to advocate for them. You fight for them. You give them everything, you know, and it makes you proud to be a part of the community when you see people and they're inspiring, you know, in tough times and how they process things. And, you know, and there's a lot of good cases too. When you detect something and you pick it up quick enough and you get them the resources to, you know, move on and carry on with their lives. I've had a patient visit the unit, and when I saw him, he was very sick. And when he came back to see us like many months later, like I couldn't even recognize him. He was gained weight. He had hair. It's like, it was just like one of those moments that I'll never forget. You know, I had another special one with a man I took care of. He came to us, was sick, and he couldn't even move from the waist down. He was a building trades instructor at North Scott, I think. And he was on top of a roof doing something. And we did what we had to do. And I got this medical leave for him to take him to a benefit that his family was doing for him at his church. I had to call and advocate and try to get him able to leave. It made me so proud to take him there, and I'll never forget it. You know, you'll have those times when you leave work and you're just like, just so proud of what you do, as tough as it is. And then, I mean, you have those days that you'll cry, you'll be so exhausted mentally, physically, but you just hold on to those good days that, you know, you've helped somebody in a tough, tough time, you know, and families too, like you're an extension of that patient. You know, it's not just the patient in the bed, but you're also there with the wife and you see the multiple generations, you know, and being a part of that love in that room that one person has generated, you know, it's just an honor for me, you know, to be there. Like I got a call from a lady the other day of a gentleman I took care of that invited me to their kind of family get together, even after he's passed. You know, that meant a lot to me. Like she's thinking of me and calling the unit to invite me, you know, to something like that. Like that made me feel like part of her family, you know, and she never forgot, even in that tough time. So it's just stuff like that you just hold on to, you know, because it is stressful. Like I'll get into the cons now, and they're not bad cons. You just, over time, like we've been mandated to work extra, and that's because of the pandemic as well. But, you know, you get through that, you just keep working and sign up what you have to sign up for. It is stressful, like in the hospital setting where I work, not going to lie there, you know, like it pays the most out of most of the positions. But then again, it's the highest stress when you are managing and responsible for multiple people's lives, you know, on a shift. You know, that's why that pay is a little higher. You get to traveling nursing if you'd like to do that eventually too, where you're traveling to different areas. That's pay is even higher than where I'm at, you know, inpatient in the hospital setting. But then you have like the convenience of doctor's offices where it's more of a Monday through Friday, 8-hour thing, but not as much pay. So you can weigh out what kind of priorities if you have want to start a family. You want to, you know, you don't want to work holidays because in the hospital, you do have to work holidays, Christmas morning. Unfortunately, the hospital is not closed. So, you know, my family understands that we've made adjustments, you know, like we just celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, but there are sacrifices you got to make. If it snows a foot, you know, you got to be able to get into work. So that's another thing. The hospital doesn't close. So just those things, those sacrifices you got to kind of think about if that's where you want to work, you know. But like I said, the pros far outweigh the cons, but it is stressful. You know, we are short-staffed, as Melissa kind of mentioned earlier, but we're working on that. You know, we're trying to fill holes. They are getting filled. It just takes time to train someone in the hospital setting. You know, I wish it would be like faster, but I mean, like I said, you're investing in people, and when you're spending like hundreds of hours and months, a couple months at least, to get someone up to speed to manage a team of patients, you know, we don't want them to leave. We don't want them to get burnout. You know, one of the things I'm big about in the hospital is resilience. And I've been on a team called the Orange Frog team, you know, where we kind of build people up and, you know, try to just promote positivity where people don't burn out, you know, because that's costing money. We don't want people to leave when you're investing all time and effort. And it's not cheap to orient a nurse into that setting, you know, and I value my time too. I don't want to train someone and have them leave in a couple months down the road, you know, so we do what we can. And it's hard. It is a stressful environment. Then you add the pandemic into it, which we're working on that. But still, you know, I would encourage anyone that's thinking about it, like, it is safe. We've got N95, we've got plenty of PPE, so don't for a second feel like you would be put in an unsafe situation. We've all been vaccinated. You know, I'm really impressed with how Genesis has handled it for us. I mean, honestly, I haven't had any doubts, and, you know, it's been tough because they've been scrambling. We all have been. Infectious disease, pulmonary, everybody has been learning with treatments. I was just talking to Dr. Kamuri the other day about a new treatment, and on the younger folks that are in the ICUs right now, 30 years old, you know, a few of them, and the different treatments are changing as we go. So we're learning as we go as well with this. So, but yeah, if it's something you want to pursue, don't hesitate for a second. You know, you will have the tools to be successful. It is a lot of work. It's hard work. Nursing school is tough. It's like, I would kind of, I'm not, never been in the military, but it is like a boot camp situation, you know, where you have to do it or you don't get through. Like, I remember when my first semester, there was, you know, they said, look to your left and look to your right, and one of those two people won't be there, and they're right. Like, sure enough, that was like how it was. I mean, but that's the level of expectations, you know, like, that's what I would want. And that's why I was drawn to Blackhawk. You know, I kind of, you know, you, that's what you would want. You don't want that person just barely getting by. You have to weed the people out to get through, to understand, you know, all of the medical, you know, interventions and everything that we do. So
I've got to ask, because you said it, and you don't have to tell me exact number, but I think high school students need to know how much money they could make if they decided to pursue a career.
Yeah, so that's important, trust me. So my pay, when I started out, I'd say right now has got to be between 50K. I make about 60 right now, and that's a 10-year nurse, you know, because your pay will go up, obviously. But I'm sure the pay has increased just with market, you know, value, cost of living, things like that. I've never asked a new grad, but it's in the 50 to 60K. I'm not rich, but, you know, I've got a truck that's paid off. My house is paid off, you know, like, it's some good middle class income. And, you know, you will be rewarded. You'll be rich in different ways. Mm. Like the stories that I shared earlier, like, man, and I could share more, you know, there's a few people that are walking around in this community that we've been trained to save lives that we've done, like, just stuff that you will, you'll never, ever get to experience, you know, and it makes me proud, you know, when you do bring somebody back. And codes aren't pretty either, but you know, when you're trained to do something and it works flawlessly as a team, like, you're on such a high, you know, like, to know that what you did saved somebody's life, you know, even with chemo and treating someone and having them come back to the unit or just write you a letter saying they're living and flourishing and thriving, like, that gets down to, like, human beings and what we do for one another, you know, like, it's not just nursing. It's just like, I think it's just to the core of who we are. You know, it takes a lot of empathy and compassion, like in my line of work in oncology. But the good thing about nursing, like, some nurses aren't good at that, and that's fine. You know, doctors even struggle with those tough conversations. I don't like walking into a room with a doctor and telling someone they have stage 4 cancer. You know, but somebody has to do it and somebody has to rise up to help people, you know, in those tough times and to help them navigate through it. But there's other areas like, you know, if that's not your thing, you could go into surgery where it's more structured and the patients are sedated and you're helping them. You're doing surgeries that will help them continue living on with their life. So, you know, that's one thing I love about nursing is that, you know, those things might not be your thing, but you can find somewhere else a different avenue that where you could prosper, you know.
I love it. I love it. I was just going to say, you know, I'm not sure we could really wrap that up much better. Brandon, you've been an exceptional guest.
It's an honor to do this, guys. And I'm sorry, but I'm not tech savvy, but, you know, I hope they could kind of feel my heart and what we do in the hospital setting. And I hope this pushes someone to join us. You know, we need help. And I love seeing the young people just thrive, you know, in a tough job, a rewarding job, you know.
Thank you and all the rest of the medical staff for doing what they do on a day-to-day basis so we all can be safe. We want to make sure we thank the Moline Foundation today for making an introduction to you. And we really, really appreciate you being a part of A Real Piece of Work, the job podcast for young people.
No, it's the least I could do, and it's incredible honor. So thank you guys for letting me do it.
Thanks for representing nursing so well.
Thank you very much, Brandon. You have a great day.
Yeah, you too, guys. Thanks for your patience with my tech issues.
We'll talk about an amazing representative for nurses all over. I was feeling like I might cry throughout that interview and had to sort of hold it together. What about you, Matt?
It, you know, it really puts things in perspective as we do our respective careers, and I'm proud of what I do. But when you look at somebody who's frontline nurse working with people and their livelihood and their potentially at times just being alive or not, what difference those healthcare people make in someone's lives. So, Brandon, that was an awesome, awesome interview, and honored to have a chance to speak with him. How about you?
Yeah, I think that he'll do a good job of recruiting some of our community's future nurses. I think that that passion for connecting with patients, and I think it really is a calling for him. And so I hope that the students who heard his testimony are ready to jump into being a CNA, looking into nursing school, and hopefully they'll get to meet Brandon because he sounds like a really exceptional.
100%. I'd love to have a chance to work with them as well. So thanks again to the Moline Foundation for connecting him to us and to our students for this podcast. Looking forward to the next one, Melissa.
Have a great week, Matt.
You too.
Yep, always.